Blog Talk Radio.
Keep your head.
Keep your head.
To the sky.
Keep your head.
Keep your
Shalom, shalom. And that is the order of the day. Keeping your optimism. Welcome to Watch Me Wednesday. I am Pastor Boris. They call me Elder V. And you are tuned into Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by Alma Hoida at Last Ministries House of Israel Deliverance Assembly. We just want to say shalom, shalom. I pray that your midweek is going well. You are tuned into a new series under a new banner called Wash Me Wednesday. King Dawid said in Psalms 51, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart and help me to do the right things." Yeshua, wash me. And if that needs to ever be said, it is today on a daily basis. We need to make sure that we are purged and clean without stain. Before I get into it, I just want to thank you for tuning in. And you can call someone right now and let them know that we're on the air, because this is going to be a very exciting series that we're getting ready to go into on Wash Me Wednesdays called the Triggers series. We're going to start talking about our triggers. And I know that the world calls this Black History Month, and where they normally relegate our existence in sum total back to 1619 at Point Comfort, as if we dropped out of nowhere, and as somebody else said, and we're going nowhere. We've been nowhere. And you know, our mission statement here at Amhoita is to restore the cultural identity of the Hebrew man, one asleep man at a time. But the Ruach HaKadosh, whom you call the Holy Spirit, some of y'all still call the Holy Ghost, has quickened us and given me to understand my platform is to take our people in the midst of their awakening beyond their culture. During this time and this month, I'm also pontificating the reality of the substratum, the foundation, if you will, that was actually built upon by our forefathers prior to the 400 years, and better understanding how we got to the point of 1619. It's amazing that people will tell you that you were savages and you came from out of nowhere in the jungles deep of Africa, but can come to a land you've never known before and invent everything that this government and civilization utilizes to make their world much more efficient and easier to live. Not understanding that you were actually the descendants of the Most High Yah, and you have the mind of God, and that there's nothing that we can't do when we're in the right place. And I say all that to lead me into the Triggers series, because we as a people, having gone through the 400 years of suppression, have been the ones who have been marginalized. We have the post-traumatic stress disorder. We're constantly in a state of cognitive dissonance. And we are the ones that need the most therapy. We are able to exist with practically nothing and find light and try and maintain optimism, but in the midst of our turning up, we actually turn down the possibilities of being all that we can be. And in this Triggers series, we want to begin to identify not only triggers of our people, but individualistic. Before we can deal with the whole, we have to find the enemy, as another preacher said, in a me. We've got to come to grips with the demons that we have ourselves. And the scripture said, lay aside every weight and that sin that does so easily beset you. There's another scripture that says this. I like this. When I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Here's the plight that we have a lot of grown children within our nation, amongst our people, and as a people, some people just refuse to grow up in general. Some people refuse to grow up because, let me say it like this, Hosea tells us that our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It doesn't mean that it's not available, it's there. But some people choose not to know because truth and knowledge can become a weighty matter. This is what gives you the urban colloquialism. This is how we begat the urban colloquialism that says ignorance is bliss, because the more I don't know, the happier I am. I can turn up and kick it as long as I don't have any responsibilities. I don't want to hear about all that. I don't want to know all that. You know, I heard you talk about these laws, commandments, and the dietary laws, but I don't want to hear all that. I enjoy my life the way it is. Don't put something in my ears that will go into my mind, into my soul, that will force me to have to change and grow up. And this is the plight of our people. But in a descriptive manner, we see that our forefathers caused us to have to go into such a state due to their desire to want to be as other people and be like the Joneses. It's a comparative self-worth. Seeing other people, other nations, other countries, other wealth, and saying that I am nothing and won't be anything unless I can ascertain to that level, to that standard. Black History Month has become a travesty because it puts a confine upon our people and puts us within a box to where we're relegated to the same stories, and we won't go outside the box and ask the questions. Why do you continue to teach me your history and not let me go beyond? Why do you tell me it's not important? I need to understand where we were and who we were as a people. This is why I detest those that try and discourage us from understanding that the religions that we were in, or that our people are in right now, were heaped upon us and forced upon us because we are identity-less. We can't find anything to identify with because we know that a language has been taken from us, a style has been taken from us, a collectiveness and pure love one another has been taken from us. This is why there's a necessity to go beyond culture and beyond the 400 years. So there's a collective beyond that we have to ascertain to. Tonight, I'm just going to talk about going beyond culture. And if you go into the archives, you'll see on one Sabbath, I did teach and preach on that. Going beyond culture. But since we're going into this triggers series, we're a defeated people because we allow ourselves to continue to be triggered by our emotions, by our anxieties that steep us back into the most available sin that we can reach and grab for. And this sin is what puts us into the narrative that's been created for our enemy, Satan. Satan comes to rob, kill, and destroy. That's the narrative. He comes as a roaring lion. And we know that normally when people hear that sound, anxiety and fear sets in because there is the potential for death. And every time we allow ourselves to be triggered, that's right. The potential of death is there. When we find out about who we are, it's not enough. It's the washing, cleansing, and sanctifying, being set apart, as I say in the Hebrew, kodesh, sanctified, that begins to help you to deal with your triggers. See, your triggers will not be effectively and appropriately dealt with and alleviated until you've been transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is why even Christ gave the disciples commandment that they must go make disciples, that they must teach people how to be transformed by changing their thought process and their thinking, and to learn to not associate with the sheeple, the masses, the people, but to be set apart and to come out of her, my people. Yes, see, the commandments of the Lord are perfect. This is what Psalms 19 and 7 tells us. Let me go ahead and read it for you before I get to the main scripture. Let me read it for you so you better understand it. Psalms 19 and 7. The commandments of the Lord are perfect converting the soul of a man. And when we talk about conversion, there's only one way to convert a man, and that's what we see in Psalms 19:7, that conversion comes through the commandments. Why is it that you're putting emphasis on the commandments, Brother V? It's because 1 John 3:2 makes it clear that the commandments, if you're not keeping them, that is transgressing. And transgression of the law is sin. There's so much I want to cover tonight, and I'm trying to pace myself and keep my focus as we begin this Triggers series. I want to be very informative. I want to be methodical, because this is a therapeutic aspect. Because when you deal with therapy and you become calendrical, you want to be changed. You're looking for results. And the only way I know you'll have results is by being delivered. And it's unfortunate we live in a time where people don't think they can be still delivered, healed, and set free and transformed. See, you need to understand that being alone in Yah's presence, the Most High's presence, is transformative in itself. Let me give you an example. When Moses, after he came down from the mountain, the glory of Yah shined upon him so greatly that people couldn't stand to even look at him. We call it countenance. Some of us say even visage. That's the Hebrew word. And then here today, we'd probably be like, your skin, your aura, your complexion is so bright. People don't even realize that after a long fast and having spent time, that you'll begin to see some of the impurities in your face will change. And people will be like, what makeup you using? What soap you using? What lotion you using? No. That is the Ruach HaKadosh emanating from inside of me, because there's been a transformation inside of me. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In the presence of Yah is the fullness of joy. And see, here's the problem. If you're not happy, you don't have peace, it's because you haven't been in his presence in a while. And to achieve his presence, it takes something. It takes the ability to find gratitude no matter what level you're on. Even when you've lost everything and don't have a job and don't have the money, kids have made you happy, or your kids have cussed you out, or your husband or whatever has left you. Do you have the focus? Were you serious when you told the Most High and got baptized? Now, because see, when you get baptized, you lay your sins down. And when you got baptized, you left all that stuff in the water. Did you go back and pick up that stuff that you laid at the baptism because things aren't going your way? And you think now the whole world is against you because this world has told you that the essence of joy is the sum total of things that you possess. That's the lie that you've been told, because you're allowing the television and the music and your friends to tell you that if you don't have this, you don't have this. Joy and peace. And the scripture told us in peace, in the Torah, in peace possess your soul, in shalom, possess your soul. Yeah, this is going to be an interesting series, Triggers. I know that by being a passionate person, that I can allow those closest to me to cause triggers to spark in my life that could cause me to spiral out of control. And before I know it, I'm back into my proclivities and tendencies of the flesh. The things that I know that I think give me temporary peace and satisfy me, a temporary high, a bottle, an illicit a fixation on physical enjoyment, taking me away from the word, the Torah, and the studies, and taking me away from finding joy in him. There's nothing like being in the presence of Yah. Maybe you don't understand what that's like because you have not enamored yourself in the word yet. Can you imagine what it's like to be Job and say, the Lord giveth, huh? Our Elohim giveth, and the Elohim taketh away. Blessed be the name of Yah. Can you imagine what that's like? No, you probably haven't achieved that level yet, but that's all right. You'll get there. We're going to get there through the grace of Yah through this series, going beyond 400. We're going to deal, we have a lot to deal with this month. Since this is Black History Month, this is going to be appropriate because our people have the most post-traumatic stress disorder, and it's because the curses are upon us. But if you remember, Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14 said that these are the blessings that will be upon you if you keep these commandments, if you keep these laws. Even though we're in our final captivity, hallelujah, and we're on our way out, you can begin to receive the blessings in your life and see the manifestation of them in your life. As a people, and I'm not going to get into the Black History moment of the before 400, because that's not the purpose tonight. What we're dealing with is going beyond this point right here, beyond the point that when you found out you were an Israelite, because it didn't stop there. Now you've got, I tell you what, it just began when you came into the knowledge. That's when the struggle began. And the struggle has to turn into one of joy. Frankie Beverly, I like how he said it best. Joy and pain. Sunshine and rain. Meaning there's going to be peaks. There's going to be valleys. You got to go up the mountain to get to the top. And then as you're at the top, you can see the next mountain. But there's no bridge to take you to the next mountain. So you got to go down and then climb back up to get to that next mountain. There's no shortcuts. Mishpachah, brothers and sisters, fam, there are no shortcuts. This is your life. This is why Shaul, Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, I press towards the mark. That means after every victory, every trophy, dust it off, put it on the mantle, and go win another one. That trophy is not it for your life. It doesn't stop there. There was not a period. That's a comma. People want to look at your legacy when you're gone and see that you never stopped and you gathered so many things. But let's go back to this trigger, because the number one problem today and the biggest problem and your biggest enemy next to Satan is your flesh. It's your body. It's your lust and your desires. Romans 7, verse 24. Matter of fact, I'm going to start at verse 3. Well, no, I'll start at verse 22. For I delight at the law of Yah after the inward man. Paul, Selah. Are you just so happy when you hear the law on the inside? Because if you are, you're like Yemiyahu, Jeremiah, who said, it's just like fire shut up inside my bones. You have to delight yourself in this law and keeping it. Because if it's still a burden, you're not quite there. Let me keep reading. Verse 23, but I see another law in my members. That word members in the Hebrew is yatsur, which means to fashion a molding, a making of the flesh after the likeness of Yah. But here's the great one. In the Greek, it's melos. And melos in the Greek, member, means an extension of your body, a limb, a body part. You know, Paul's getting pretty graphic here, because what he's telling you that is that some of your body parts tend to get a little hot and bothered, and they war against the law, meaning your flesh gets in the way of you keeping the Most High's laws and his statutes and commandments, because you're always lusting after something. You blame it on everything else, but your eyes and your flesh is telling you that the grass is greener on the other side, because you want to satisfy the flesh. You got to itch. See, Shaul was getting graphic here. And then it's not even just your members want to lay down with someone. It's also your eyes. I mean, we already know that the pride of life, lust of the eye, and lust of the flesh, those are the three problems, which is why he said your members.
Your eye is an extension of the body too. And it's always lusting after something, saying, if I had that, I'd be happy. When he told us not to set our affections on things below, but on things above. Huh? Because Shaul also said that the things seen are only temporary.
Verse 23 said this, warring against the law of my mind. There is another law in my body, which is warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Did you catch that? I'll read it again. But I see another law in my members, which is warring against the law of my mind. He's talking about the law of Yah, to do right, to do what my mind is telling me. I'm not going to quote that brother's song. I know y'all hear it. But see, the law is trying to transform your mind. Like Psalms 19 and 7 said, that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You're being converted. Your mind is being transformed by keeping the law and becoming kodesh, becoming set apart, becoming sanctified. Most people don't even know what sanctified means. It's not enough, like I said, you've got to go beyond your culture. It's not enough to say, I know. Now you got to work this thing, do this thing, practice this thing. You need to understand that Revelations 22 and 14 says that this is a remote prophecy in 22 and 14, and I got to point it out because a lot of people misunderstand it when they read it. It talks about who's going into the kingdom through the gates and how they're going to get into the gates. And then I'll go back. It says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life. You're not getting to the tree of life or walking through the gates into the kingdom unless you are doing, not thinking about, not heard about, not listening to. Not because your elder, your preacher, your pastor preaches the laws to you every Sabbath or every worship service you get together, you hear it, but the one that's doing it. You're the only one that's getting in. And if you're not doing it, who are you? You're Matthew 7 and 21. Depart from me. I never knew you. Why? Because of 1 John 2 and 3. We hereby do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. But see, we got this problem because we have little things, these sins that easily beset us because we haven't crucified these sins. Let me explain something to you. Every time you go back in sin, you crucify our HaMashiach afresh. You put him back on the cross. And then you've got to repent and do your first works all over again. You go back into the baptismal pool, pick up your sins and want to go back because you say, he did this to me. Mama hurt me. I could never get over this death. But where is your love? Where does your love lie? Because there will be incidents where triggers will happen. But you are the one that has to get delivered by growing up and leaving yesterday in yesterday and grabbing for the future of what Yah promised he would convert you to be. But you've got to fall in love with the transformation process and the law of Yah. Don't you think Joseph wasn't pissed when he saw his brothers again and didn't say, there go them rolls that sold me and made me go through hell, stayed in prison and everything. But he had found a place of forgiveness in his heart when he became to realize that all things work together for the good. All things work together for the good of those that love the Most High. Your footsteps are ordered by him. You don't even know why he's taking you through the things you're going through. You asked him to make you a better man, a better woman. He said, okay, I'm going to have to take your butt through the ringer and get some stuff off you. If you want to be a Michelangelo, a statue, or you want to be something chiseled, you want to be a work of art, there has to be a chisel and a hammer, and that somebody has to go to work on you and fashion you, Yeshua in the Hebrew, and form you to become that sculpture of beauty. But that don't happen until you get refined in the fire, sculpted, chiseled, transformed. You think that feels good? It never feels good. Will there be bad times? Yes. Are you going to lose things? You're going to lose who you thought you were to become something that's going to be adored by many. But it's a process. How do I make it through the process, Brother V? You have got to find a place
of worship and praise and peace in him, to where you don't look at the process, but you look at the destination. I say at the end of every lesson, truth is a journey and not just, oh, I arrived, I'm here, and this is where I'm going to stay. No, it's enjoying the process of getting there, because there's a finish line that you've got your eyesight on. And that finish line is that is said in Revelations. Then I'll go back to Romans and finish. In Revelations, it makes it clear. Here is the patience of the saints, they that kept the commandments. When he comes back, he's going to be like, these are the ones that were patiently waiting. They didn't give up. They didn't throw in the towel. They waited for me. And how did they wait? They said, no, he coming. No, I'm not going to the club. No, I'm not divorcing. No, I'm not going to get high. No, I'm not going to hoochie mama out one night. No, I'm not going to chase the money. No, I'm not going to go back and forth, back and forth. You understand what I'm saying? I hope I'm making it very clear. The biggest problem is yourself. Let me go back to Romans 7, 25. This is Paul. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Why did he say that? He said, because there's a war going on with my flesh and my spirit. My flesh is keeping me in captivity. Your flesh is keeping you in jail. It's not the devil, it's you. You don't want to drop dead and die out and change. You don't want to become a new person. You don't want to deactivate that thing that always reacts to every little thing that comes its way. You got road rage. You always talking about, I wish I would. You think your mouth is all that. You worship your mouth more than you worship God, because you say, let somebody say something to me, I tell them a thing or two, because you worship your tongue more than you worship the Most High. Brothers worship their fists like, yeah, I'll get with him. I'll throw these things. What? This is why many lay in the grave right now. They got plenty of sticks, things, and 9mm and Uzis and everything. You see this going on in Chicago in every urban area, because pride cometh before a fall, and that fall is the grave. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that there are triggers that keep you from moving ahead in life that you refuse to give to Christ, which are the things that set you off. I've got to deal with you individually before I can deal with us as a people. But if collectively, if we deal with us as individuals, we'll be better, because when we get around each other, we're just ready to destroy each other because of the post-traumatic stress disorder and the Willie Lynch letters that people want to say aren't true. No, they're true, because there's a reason why dark skin hates light skin, and we dislike each other when we're around each other. Post-traumatic stress disorder and that Lynch syndrome. And if we had the love of Christ, that would be gone. He's got so much work to do in us. When you become dead in Christ, because you're supposed to be hid with Christ, right? You gave your life to him. Then that means he's the landlord. He fixes everything. You don't have to fix nothing, fight for nothing, worry about nothing, worry about what. It's not your problem no more. It's not your responsibility no more. You probably heard this before, the word change, I believe is the Greek or Hebrew, is metamorpho, which is where we get metamorphosis, and the analogy is where the caterpillar actually spins a cocoon and allows itself to die in that secret place of prayer and fasting and become, I'm making an analogy to you, and then when that time is over with, that time spent with the Most High, out comes the butterfly that nobody recognizes but sees its beauty. Why? Because you spent time alone and died to who you used to be, and you healed your soul through a time of fasting and identifying your triggers. I'm not going to let My past set me off no more. I'm not going to be mad about what mama and daddy didn't do or what they did. I'm not going to be locked into the fact that I got beat up as a little girl. My hair was pulled. I'm not going to worry about the fact that I never could achieve in sports and I was a little man and my daddy wasn't there. No, I got to heal, die, and grow up and put that in the past, in this cocoon, and let it die if I'm ever going to blossom into something else. Wash me. Most High, wash me. But since you haven't dealt with it, every time somebody says something, because you have it buried deep in the recesses of your mind, immediately, as soon as you hear a certain word, it's triggered and you find out that it was never dealt with, because most of us have a tendency to sweep things under the rug. When you say, I'm just not going to talk about it, I just ain't going to deal with it. Whatever, stay away from me, miss me, I'll love you from a distance. Or I'm going to act like I didn't see it, or I'll just get you back. You didn't deal with it because you don't love yourself enough. Nor are you allowing the Most High to love you enough to say, it's okay, I saw that happen to you, and I'm going to hold you, and we're going to wash away the pain. See, because I allow it, because you're my flower, or you're my king, and I'm building character in you so I can take you to a place you could have never imagined I would take you. But you don't become that until you go through the storm. Gold must be tried in the fire. You've heard it many times. Unfortunately, I don't care how many times you've heard it, you still haven't gotten it. I have people that will try and talk about my past, including family. But I already wrote a book about it. So do you think it hurts me for you to talk about it? I better understand now that it was supposed to happen because I am who I am. And I have gifts that they don't have because he'll take me in places of dark places to bring people out that other people won't even go in and can't go in and don't know how to go in. But I do. And that's your gift. Because what you went through, if you hurry up and get yourself delivered from it, woman, you can go get that little girl and make sure she don't go through what you went through. Man, you can go get that little boy and make sure he don't get molested and become a homosexual or give up on life or jump off a bridge. If you hurry up and grow up and get yourself right and heal, I don't care if you have to cry it out. Go beyond the fact of your culture. Yes, we come from kings and queens. We are a royal nation. We are the people of the book. But you still need to be set free and let Yahshua have his perfect work inside you. Let Christ heal you and change you. Let his perfect work, his redemptive work be done. Stop living in grace where I'm just going to keep falling and falling and falling. No, you don't have to. He said he makes a way of escape every time temptation comes. He said, I'll keep you from falling. But you haven't fallen in love with yourself yet. Because when you fall in love with yourself, you'll fall in love with him. And when you fall in love with him, you'll fall in love with yourself. Do you see the repetition here? Pull out of this world. There's no happiness there that can last. Turn off the TV. Get away from the food. Put the weed down. Put the drink down. It's all temporary. Until you heal the essence of your soul through fasting, Mark 9 and 23, these kind come out but by prayer and fasting. You got demon spirits that are causing anxiety and fear in you and trembling and worry, and it's not going to stop until you start fasting and praying. Turn off the TV, lock in your room, and read this Bible, not no novel. Stop looking to the Bible. Nothing's going to do it. CBD, hemp oil for your anxiety. No. These are spirits that are attacking you, and they're going to keep attacking you. Your past, if they're going to attack you with your past, it's going to mock you with your past. Satan's going to keep bringing remembrance of everything where you suffered, where you failed, and you're going to think you're a failure, and you're not even realizing that you've got the rest of your life to go. Be healed. Be set free. You don't even know what shalom is yet. You're talking about Shabbat Shalom, and you ain't even got it. Bless you, brother. You can't bless me because you ain't got nothing to bless me with. You're empty. And he wants to use you. The Most High wants to use you, but he can't because your hands are clenched closed. It's like a fist. You want to fight everybody because you're angry, and inside that fist is all your hurts and pains. You can't even open your hands when you pray and say, take it, because he said, I won't put more on you than you can bear. But he also said, cast your cares on me because I care for you. When will you lose your triggers and your buttons of fear, worry, and anxiety that keep causing you to reach for vices that are killing your body? Because if this is how Satan comes in to rob, kill, and destroy, is through the triggers and you reaching for the devices to help you. Shaul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? 25, he said, I thank the Most High through Yeshua Christ, our Elohim. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of Yah, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Ain't no good in your flesh. It keeps trying to pull you back in sin. But with your mind, that's why he said, meditate on him. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Yah. He said, keep your mind stayed on him. I'll keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on me. Do you hear me talking to you tonight? And I'm speaking to those spirits that don't want to let you go. The pity party is over. Blow out the candles and throw out the cake. Grow up. You're not a king and queen yet. You're not walking in royalty yet, because you refuse to understand the purpose of your past. Once I can get you to do that as an individual, I can talk collectively about us as a people as we prepare for the soon return. Oh my goodness, you don't know how close we are as we vastly approach 400 years in the month of Abib, which is the first month of the Hebrew calendar. You have no idea how close we are to the transformative process that's getting ready to take place. This whole world is uneasy. It's trembling. Nature's uneasy. The animals are uneasy. Is anybody paying attention? But more importantly, your soul's uneasy. When you should be preparing, spring cleaning, you should look yourself in the mirror and say, if I ever, one more time, talk about what somebody did to me in my past, I'll kick my own behind. Just look in the mirror and say that. It sounds funny. But really, if you are rehashing and telling the same old story from the same position of being bound by it, like chains, then there's been no change. What I'm trying to say to you is that listen to me closely. Tell the story, but tell it from a place of that used to be me, so that when you go get these little babies, they'll be like, what? Yeah, but no more, because the Most High taught me how to love myself once I fell in love with him. That's right. Okay. Back up from this, and I hope that you've been blessed by this part one. You are the problem. You are the problem. Your flesh is the problem. And you don't want anybody else to know that it's you who wants something else and you're chasing your tail. So stop going in circles and repent. Come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments and keep these holy days. Forget all this grace. I thank the Most High for grace, but I can't stay there. He gave me grace to get it right. And if I were you, I would find out how much more I could do to be closer to him on a daily basis. Oh, if I do this, even if I fast, I'll get closer. Maybe if I stop keeping some of these pagan holidays, I'll get closer. Stay away from watching TV so much, I'll get closer. Read my Bible every day, I'll get closer. Pray three times a day, I'll get closer. Stop eating all these abominable carnal foods and trying to convince myself it's okay and it's making me sick, I'll get closer. Cut off some of the friends that are triggers that always tell me let's go to the bar and let's go to the club, I'll get closer. Get rid of some of the old boyfriends, don't talk to them, old girlfriends, don't talk to them no more, I'll get closer. I rest my case. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I ask that you will cause deliverance to be upon these people tonight that are listening, and that there'll be a change within their hearts, their minds, and their souls. Satan, you've had them bound for much too long, and I stand fast in the authority by which I've been called to be a minister, that these chains might be loosed, because he said that we would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. And he said that we would cast out demons in his name, and I cause it to be so in this series. Throughout the four corners of this earth, may people begin to prepare their hearts and walk away from sin, because we know two-thirds will be destroyed and only a third is going to make it. And I rebuke every demon that's telling my people that it's too hard to do. It's too hard to change. Show them that it's easy. Let it happen even in their sleep and dreams, because you said in the book of Job, you speak to a man in his dreams and give him instruction, and you seal it up. And you cause a man to wake up brand new. Father, bring repentance in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Let there be victory. Let your people know that it's not enough to just say, I'm this, I'm that. That we broke off the branches, and that we ourselves could have been broken off permanently. To stop hating other nations, but to follow peace with all men. And understand that holiness, Kodesh, without no man shall see you. And to focus on ourselves and focus on your work and focus on the kingdom. I speak these things, Father, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, so be it. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. The only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. This is Elder V saying, find your shalom. Wash me.
Keep your head.